Worship. In Genesis 16, we have a gal named Hagar. We're going to learn about Hagar today. And poor Hagar is having a rough time, and she found herself alone. And this is what she found out, that God would come to her in her midst and when she was alone and just not having a good day. I'm almost certain there's a couple people in this room who have not had a good day this week. And this is what she found out from the Lord when the Lord engaged her. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are a God who sees. You're a God who sees." And that's pretty encouraging. A lot of us need to know that God sees into our mess, and by golly, he does. So he's very kind to us. Let's pray to him today. Jesus, we love you and give you praise for being so kind. And God, we know that you do see us in our worst of times, best of times, and in our ugliest of times. You see us, and your presence is quite palpable. And Lord, today, sometimes when we come to church, we are wrought with feelings from the week that we've had. But Lord, help us to rely on the knowledge of faith, that as we take communion, as we sing songs, as we give offering to you, it's very apparent that you're very real and alive, and you see us. And so, Lord, help us to take pleasure in that you see us and are there with us. We love you, Jesus. I pray this in your name.
Good morning. You guys are going to have to sing loud today. You know that, right? Okay, we're going to start out by singing Blessed Assurance.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture, a host of sight. Angels descending, ring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior.
We're going to continue with Trust and Obey.
With us
Our communion song this morning is Just a Closer Walk. Jesus is my plea. May I walk close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Oh, with me my burden share. Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Let's stand. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Find me gently, safely.
Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Good morning. Jared Friedmeier called me yesterday afternoon, and I was trying to bale hay, and I think I got about four calls while I was trying to bale, and this is one of the worst pieces of hay. It's steep. It's just one big hill. It's down on one side and down on the other side. And he told me where he was preaching, but I was busy and I didn't catch it. But anyway, I said, yeah, I can do that. And so I was looking up something to talk about. And so I went to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and starting with verse 4. And this is Paul speaking. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gifts as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless and on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, that there be no division among you, but you be perfectly united, mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's house have informed me that there is quarrels among you. What I mean is one of you says, I follow Paul, another and I follow Apollos, another and I follow Cephas, still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except for Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom or eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is powerful of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligence I will frustrate. Elaine and I ended up in town last night, and I said I'd buy her supper. And by process elimination, we decided we'd eat at a restaurant that had a salad bar, because neither one of us eat heavy of an evening. And we went in, and I think there was only one waitress, and we waited a while before she got over there, you know. And so she gave us a menu and took her drink orders, and she went to leave, and then she says, I don't know how long you'll have to wait. She said, our computers are down. And I thought, well, the salad bar is right there, you know, all we got to do is fill her place. But I assume they couldn't pay unless their computers were working. And as I was reading this morning, I thought, how easy is it to confuse the knowledge of the wise with just one small thing, you know. And our life does not depend on it. It depends on Christ Jesus and our salvation too. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, for your mercy. We thank you for your testimony through the scriptures here that how we should live our lives. We thank you for your sacrifice. In thy holy son's name we pray. Amen.
Paige, you get things figured out back there? Trying? When you get things figured out back there, let me figure it out up here too, would you? That'd be helpful. Yeah. I don't know if this mic's on, Paige. I think it is. I thought it'd be a good idea today to praise the Lord for rain. How about you? You can sit down. Yes, it sure is nice to have the rain. I'm just curious, though, when it comes to the rain, other things like that. How good are you folks at waiting? If you could describe yourself and rate yourself in terms of waiting, how would you say you are? For what? That's it, right? It depends on what it is. That's right. So sometimes it depends on what it is when things are waiting. I have good measure, I found this out, and I think it's a good measure to believe that it's true. There was a state trooper lying in wait one time up in Iowa, and he has his favorite spot to get speeders, and one came through, and he flashed his lights and pulled a car over, and the trooper said to the driver, "I've been waiting for you all day long," to which Rick Ridge replied, "I got here as fast as I could." And so waiting, it seems like Americans have a difficult time waiting. Has there been you, difficult time waiting? You know, I think Vern might have hinted around last night, might have been a little challenged to wait at a restaurant. And so waiting's a tough thing. I went online this past week and got an imagery of where the most impatient people are in America. And it's probably hard for you to see on the screen, but the green represents people who are most impatient. And so obviously we can tell that Missouri is not one of those states, but all those green states where people are most impatient, which kind of surprised me. Any surprises there for you as you look at that? I'm surprised the Midwest and the upper Midwest is in the green, but there it is. The least impatience in the red. So I guess you folks made the red. You're the least impatient. I don't know who lives with you. Maybe they may not say that. But you're least impatient. What's that? What happened with Iowa? We lost Iowa a long time ago. I don't know what happened to Iowa. But this is found to be true that with Americans, and this is how it was presented on the web when I looked it up, Americans will likely waste more than 900 million hours waiting on hold this year. Waiting on hold. And the hold, and you have to put you on hold. 900 million hours, okay? That's according to analysis of 4 million phone calls from consumers to businesses. 4 million phone calls, you're going to have at least 900 million hours. And they also found this to be true as well, that half Americans say they spend 10 to 20 minutes per week being on hold with somebody. That equates to 43 days of your life will be on hold. Isn't that great? You look forward to that? 43 days of your life. I got too much time. I'm sure they was on hold too long, Rick. That was the problem. Well, we're going to learn about a person today, Abraham, obviously, and Sarah and Hagar. Those are three characters today. And we're going to talk about weight. And I personally don't think it's necessarily a to face that ourselves. So if you've got your Bibles, go to Genesis 16 with me today. Genesis 16. And we're going to start in verses 1 through 4. But the first thing we will learn is this, is that not including God.
How well do you make from the bathroom? Well, it depends, right? Where my pants are. How well do you wait for your food to get to you at a restaurant? How well do you wait? Keep asking these questions. Well, if you think about those four questions I ask you, what do they take just seconds and minutes? It's all takes just seconds and minutes. But we still have a hard time to do this. Most of us have a hard time to do it. Well, wait. Now, how long? life. And then this happened in verse 16 of Genesis 12. Therefore, he treated Abraham well for his sake, that's Pharaoh, and he gave him sheep, oxen, and donkeys, male and female servants, and female donkeys, and camels. Now I go back 10 years later, now Genesis 16, and remember that he was not supposed to be in Egypt. God didn't tell him to. Of course, God had a plan to come to Egypt, but I'm not sure he didn't. He didn't ask God about his decision going into Egypt. And so he went into Egypt, and suddenly we find a female servant showing up in Genesis 16 years later. The female servant, and where is she from? You see the connection? Abraham did not consult with God when he left land of Canaan in Egypt. Made a God's decision. He had freedom to do it, he did. But it still doesn't. Because now he comes back to the evil servant named Hagar. And so here's what happens. Sometimes a short-term decision, we don't include God, it's going to cost you. I'm not sure if it's going to cost you a long-term consequence. So anytime you have any decision to make, it's wise to ask God. I remember one time years ago, I was talking to the gal, and I was going through that kind of thought process with her. Asking God, talking to God about the decision you got to make. She goes, what do you got to ask about everything? You need to be tired of shit. Why don't you respond? Wouldn't hurt. That's exactly what I said. Hey, wouldn't hurt. Does it sound like we're going to be smart like about it? It sounds like you need to be asking God for things. There's a lot I'm talking about here this morning. It's just a great truth. Take some time to listen. Take some time to listen. You don't just have to jump on things right away. Take some time to listen. God's plan in that. Your own plan will cost you more than just years. It's going to cost you more than just years. Just take the time to listen. Okay. Now, look at our second part of our text today. Paul on your own outline. And this is profound. This actually surprised me with this study this week and how this is kind of revealed the study today. God including God in the decision. He values God. He values yourself. And also, he values those people around you. Okay? So when you don't include God in the decision, it values God, yourself, and people around you. How's that working out? Well, let's look at Genesis 16, verse 5 and 6. The Bible says there, Sarah said to Abraham, may the wrong done me be upon you. I gave my name to your arms. So what you saw was she didn't see it, now was despised in your sight. May the Lord judge between you and me. That's verse 6. And Abraham said to Sarah, behold, your maid is in your power. Your was good in your sight. So Sarah treated Hagar harshly. What did Hagar do?